Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you what has taken place in this meeting this morning. The things that we know and the things that we don't know yet. I thank you, Lord, for your love for each person. I thank you for your passion for us. I thank you, Lord, that you gave everything for us. I thank you that you came from your place to our place. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, would you take this moment, take these times, and take your word and build us up and strengthen us and create things in our lives that we've not had in our lives up to this moment. Father, I trust that your word will set us free, would bring liberation this morning. I trust that your word will feed us. I trust that those who have not encountered your word and the power of your word will encounter you this morning, Jesus. I pray, Lord God, as we dedicate baby Bobby, Lord, that, Lord God, that the Spirit of God, Father, would touch him even through the preaching of your word, Father, for your glory. Amen. Amen. We've been going through a series called The King's Speech, and I've been forever and a day trying to bring it to an end. But it's one of those sermon series that it just will not end, because the Word of God is forever and ever anyway. But the Sermon on the Mount, The King's Speech, is not a sermon series. It's a lifestyle that God offers to us. He not only offers us the lifestyle, but he gives us the strength and the power to actually live out this lifestyle. So he's asking us, he's calling us to something, and yet he's given us everything we need to live out of that lifestyle, yeah? And if you want to pick up on where we've been, go to www.libertychurch.ie, get onto the podcast and see the range of words that is there that is liberating and absolutely brings freedom. But this morning I want to try bring it to an end, which I said last week. And this morning I want to call this the King's Permission. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a culture of no permission. In the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was in the garden and they failed God and failed to obey God, absolutely incredible things happened, not only in humans, but in the whole world. And sin entered the world, and therefore everything that sin brings, which is everything that you see in the world that contributes to death, that's what happened when Adam and Eve. Not only did humans suffer, but the whole earth suffered. And God comes and he puts Adam and Eve out of the garden. And not only did he put Adam and Eve out of the garden, but he put two cherubims, two angels, in front of the garden with flaming swords, stating no entry, no permission. Adam and Eve, you cannot come back into this place. And amazingly, legend says that Adam and Eve ended up sitting in a cave for so many hundreds of years. It's just legend. It doesn't mean it's true, but it's a good point. It says they sat in a cave for hundreds of years after that with their head in their hands. And every now and then they would look up and they would look at each other and just shake their head as much to say, how did we blow that? How did we let that happen? And they put their hands back in their head back in their hands and stay in their depression. So there was a culture of no permission. Then God, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the desert and they built this big temple thing called the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there was loads of different areas. There was areas where people could go into, and there was areas where there was no permission, i.e. the Holy of Holies. Only one person once a year, the high priest, could come into that place and make sacrifice on behalf of all of the people. It was a no permission culture. It was a no permission when they built the temple. Only the priest could come in. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, as people who are vessels of God, as only certain few could the Holy Spirit come upon. So it was only individuals that God wanted to do something, that the Holy Spirit would not come and live in them, but the Holy Spirit would come and be upon them and carry out the things and the acts that God wanted them to carry out. The dreams of God were only for the select few in the Old Testament. The access to the dreams of God, where there was no permission, but it was only allowed permission to certain ones that God called to bring his dreams to pass in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a no-entry culture. Also in the Old Testament, there was a no sense of God being a father culture. There was God, there was people that came before God, and there was a no permission culture in calling him even father. He was Jehovah God. He was God. And all of the time he wanted to show himself as the God who was accessible, but something had to be dealt with. The no permission that sin caused had to be dealt with. So people would rightly think in the Old Testament, very fearful of God, that God would be judgmental, that God would come and smite them in an instant. And the whole culture was built up in this sense until God sent his only begotten son, Jesus. And when Jesus came, God was shown, look, I want to show you what it was like back in the garden, before the no permission sign was put up, before the angels came in, before that no permission culture came in. He says, I want to show you, and the only real way of me showing you is, in fact, if I come to earth and I show you what I'm about and who I am and how I do things, and starting to show you a permission culture. But Jesus had to come and he had to die on the cross and deal with sin. Do you ever get when people talk about sin and you sort of go, you sort of your sin and my sin starts creeping up and go, oh, he's talking about me. Oh, like, I don't know, you know, that immediately when I talk about sin, you probably felt a little bit guilty about something or other. But that's Old Testament. That's the Old Testament culture. Because the New Testament culture, what Jesus done on the cross, is in fact, he took all of our sin and he took them upon himself, and he made a no permission culture become a permission culture. So in the Old Testament, no one, only those select few could come to God. In the New Testament, it was permission for whoever wants to come to God. They come to believe in Jesus, and then the access is all the way. Jesus actually said in the book of John, the Gospel of John, that he is the gate, he is the door, he is the way. He is, so through him there's access. Through him there's permission. Through him, everything that there was no permission to now becomes permission to. In the Old Testament, only one could go into the Holy of Holies. Now in the New Testament, you actually become the Holy of Holies. Grab a hold of that and put it in your pipe and smoke it. In the Old Testament, that you couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. When you believe what Jesus did on the cross, which he already done, he already took our sins. And when we believe in him, then our sins are forgiven and brought underneath what God's forgiveness. And therefore, you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You become the tabernacle of God. You become the place where the Garden of Eden can sprout. And everything that they had access to in the Garden of Eden is ours because of the cross of Jesus. And you know what? Permission is guaranteed. It's granted. The only ones that now stay outside who those who choose to stay outside. But anyone that wants to come in, he says, whoever believes in me. When I was a little fella up in Dalton's Barn 22 years ago, I was really small before I became a Christian. I got an operation on my knees. They put about that much on. But I thought Christian and Jesus were just for good people. I thought it was for the poshies that lived in the North Avenue or something like that. A fatty man. I just didn't think he'd have anything. Truly, I thought if there is a God, why would he want to come to this place? Why would he want to come? And my friend, Finn O'Finley, 260 Dolphin House, a man who was a heroin addict, met Jesus. And he came and says, no, it's for whoever. It's not just for certain people. It's for whoever believes in him. The gates are open for whoever. No one has to stay in their cells. No one has to stay in their prison. No one has to stay in their depression. No one has to stay in their bondage. No one has to stay in their addiction. Because Jesus took the gates. And there's only those who believe the lie that they can't come out. Jesus is saying, there's no more gates. I took them all. So whoever wants to come out, you can come out now. And you can join my gang. You can be in with me. And I will do all that you need to do. I will do all that I need to do in you to get you to where I want you to be. Because he came from his place to earth. Place to show us what his place was like, so that this place would look like his place, and then when we die, we even go to live in his place forever. And if you get that, and that he wants this place to look like his place, let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that when he looks down, he wants to go, wow, there's heaven on earth. That's his heart. That wasn't a prayer we just prayed. That's a prayer we believe. That's a prayer we take hold of and exact it into our lives. So let's go through a few permissions. So pre-cross, it was no permission. Post-cross, after the cross, there was permission. Permission to call upon the Lord. He gave us permission to call upon him. That when we're in trouble, when there's times of difficulty, that he says we can call upon the Lord. That we can actually call him Father. That we can call upon him. Jesus says, this is how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. He didn't say, my Father. In John, it says that whoever believes in him, it gives the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. So whoever believes in him now have permission to call on him as Father. To call upon him as a perfect Father. A providing Father. A near Father. A Father that's not absent. A Father that is not cruel. A Father that is not abusive. But a Father who's perfectly, lovingly, brilliant in every way possible. And he says now that because of the cross, I can say, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I can say, Father, I'm in need. Father, I'm in trouble. Do you remember years ago, you go, I'll get my dad after you. Every time the devil comes near your door, you can say, I'm getting my dad after you. Every time. Do you remember you say, you think your dad knows everything. In fact, my Heavenly Father does know everything. He is Mr. Know-All. And he's absolutely brilliant in every possible way. And you and I can call him Father. We've been given permission. Even if that freaks you out because your dad was a bad guy or he treated you bad, the challenge is that you can now call on someone who's perfect and you can forgive your dad and he'll bring healing into your dad's life and healing into your life around your dad's life and he'll show you what a father is because we fail. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to let fathers off the hook. They hadn't got it in the bank, and therefore they couldn't give it to us. They hadn't got it in them, and therefore they gave out of only what they had. And we need to go, you know what, Lord, I need to let that go. And Lord, some of the way of letting that go is, but you show me what a father is, what a forgiving father is, a loving father, a kind father, a merciful, graceful father, a generous father. And then when I see that, Lord, I can in turn go, how in the world could I measure my dad against you, Lord? And therefore, I let my dad off the hook. I let him, I release him into what God has for him. That we have permission to call him Father. Amen? We have permission also to call upon him and put up the next slide, man. The printer wasn't working. I'm working off the slides. That we have permission to ask for the Holy Spirit. Remember I said in the Old Testament it was a no permission culture. In the New Testament it's a permissive culture. So Jesus says that if you who know how to give good gifts to your children. So he says if your kid asked you for a snake or for meat, would you give him a snake? They probably would if you lived in Arkansas. Because they eat snake up there. In fact, I was in Arizona 2 years ago, and I ate rattlesnake. I was like that after, for ages. That was a good one. No? No, he said no good. Eddie was bragging one time he ate a parrot, and I kept repeating on him. What was I? Oh, yeah. He says that if your kid asks you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? And obviously the answer is no. So he said, how much more will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So he gives us permission to ask for the Holy Spirit. He gives us for us permission for the Holy Spirit to come and live in us and his fruit and his life to live out through us. See, the key is that not we try to be Christians, it's that we allow Jesus, his life being lived out through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he brings freedom and he brings liberty. There's so many go here, there and everywhere looking to other fathers to get freedom and none of those fathers can provide the freedom. But Jesus says, if you come to my Father, And if you ask him, and I've given you permission to ask him because of the cross, well then my Father will hear that request, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will come in and live in you and live out through you, and that's what happens. He called you to live in another dimension. Peter was in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. How about that for a trick? He's walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost, and they're getting freaked out, and they were asking each other, "Do you believe in ghosts?" That's not really in the Bible. I just made that up. And there's a ghost. And they looked out and they spotted it was Jesus. And Jesus says, "Take courage, it's me." And Peter said, "If it's you, Jesus, can I walk on water too?" And you want to really know how to walk with Jesus, you have to get out of the boat. That's the only way. You can sit in your own boat. "Oh, this is my world. I don't get all of this. How are they moving in the power of God? How are they seeing miracles?" Look around you. You have probably nets and smell of fish everywhere around you because you're still in the boat, and you have to learn how to get out of the boat and trust Jesus. You might say, "I didn't feel anything this morning." Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. That's the only way it works. The economy of heaven is faith. Stepping out, believing him. And Peter said, "If it's you, Jesus, can I come out?" And he says, "Yeah, come on now." And Peter walks on the water. Can you imagine him in heaven? I heard someone say this, that was really funny, that the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the council of heaven, and all the angels, and all the cherubim sitting around. What's some of the things we should do when we go to earth? Why don't we say, "Jesus, you walk on water and see what happens, and see who will want to get out of the boat." And sure enough, Jesus walks on water, and Peter's like, I'll get out. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he got brought into a dimension that was not natural. It was supernatural. He got brought into, and the invitation and permission of God is that we step out and we live a life that is naturally supernatural. That it's like a dimension that we've not. It's an invitation to a dimension to live out of his place in our place. It's an invitation to move. And we always think, you know what? Peter sunk. And we talk about where he sunk instead of celebrating he got out of the boat. We need to celebrate with those, even if he was sinking, even if you failed, get out of the boat. We not to go, "Aha, you thought you were going to make it." No, but you got out of the boat and you tried to make it. And therefore, when Peter was sinking, Jesus says, "Come up." He wasn't going to let him drown. So even if you step out and you start to sink, Jesus is there to pick you up. But get out of the boat, because he gave us permission to move in a different dimension. Is Lar here this morning? No, he's not here. Well, Lar from Finglas brought his mate last Thursday. Terry, are you here? He brought his mate Terry last week from Finglas. And Terry was he's coming through addiction. And he says he's seeing Lar coming down Finglas on a bike. And Lar's a Christian a while. And he says, "No, I looked and it was Jesus on a bike." Oh, if someone says, "Where's Jesus?" He's going around Finglas somewhere on a bike. Truly, he says, "I could see Jesus in him," and I stopped him and says, "What's going on in your life?" And he says, "Jesus set me free from addiction, from sin. I have a hope. I can call him Father now." And Lars says, "I want some of that. I want some of that." And here's the reality. Other dimension Christians, wherever you are this week, people will be able to see Jesus in you. Because how can you keep him hidden? Lars wasn't even looking to show Jesus. He was just letting him shine through him. Walk, permission to go into another dimension. Walking on water. Permission to dream the dreams of God. The culture of God, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts chapter 2, he said, "Look, this is going to be the culture. In them last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Who? Posh people? What do you mean, no? Yeah, posh people as well. Just young people? All people. The rich, the poor. The prince and the pauper. The politicians and the prostitutes. The oppressors and the oppressed. He says, "I'll pour out my Spirit on all people." And he says, and this is the culture of these days we live in, that our sons and daughters will prophesy. That means they'll hear from God and speak what God is saying on earth. It says that our young men will see visions and our old men will dream dreams. Our sons and daughters will prophesy. So the culture that God, the permission culture, is a culture of prophecy. God speaking, visions, the young, the old, the pouring out, the sons and the daughters being the people that move in the dimensions of God. And he says that they will have dreams. And I want to say this morning and release God's dreams into your life and into my life. Because Jesus says, "I give you now permission to dream my Father's dreams here on this earth. I give you now permission to hear from God and to see the things of God and to make them happen on earth in this place. You know why Dr. Jerry and his wife and his lovely family went to Uganda? Because they're dreaming God's dreams. You know why Lindsay and Catherine and Monica and Becky is traveling around the world? They're living God's dreams. You know why you're doing what you're doing? Because God is starting to birth dreams in you. Dreams like, I want to do this for God. I want to reach the world like God wants to reach the world. I want Him to reach this world through me. I read an amazing story that absolutely had me weeping when I read it originally. I read it again and it hadn't got that effect on me, but there you go. But it was a church in New York called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And the pastor there is a pastor called Jim Cimbale. He wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Small little book, but a cracker of a book if you want to get it. And in the book, he was talking about God doing something and God's dreams being released in the church. And his young daughter, who was not old enough anyway to go out and do something on her own, so she came to her dad and says, I want to go down to Carbone City and I want to reach homeless people for Jesus. He says, honey, you can't do that. You're too young. She says, if I was an older person coming to you, would you let me? She said, yeah. He said, yeah. She said, what would you do if I got some older people around me and they were the ones that could be responsible, but I would be able to live out the dream that God's put in my heart? What can you say? You have to say yes, don't you? So he says, get a team, get a mature team, and you can go down. Because it was a rough place. Nobody ate until they ate our beans. Nobody moved on in their life. And the area that she went to where there was all male prostitutes. And she went into that area and she brought blankets and the team brought blankets. And the men would scavenge in the bins at night and in the day and sell their bodies at night. And she was brokenhearted, not because she was looking at these poor people, but she could feel God's heartbeat beating out of her chest. That I want to reach people in every corner of this world, whether they're rich up and out or down and out. That God's heart is for both. And she went out and constantly she went and went and went. And then one day she met this man called Ricardo. And Ricardo was a transvestite. And she got talking to him and she'd bring him food and blankets. And she invited him to church. And she says about 20 of these men dressed up as women came to church. And they all came in the back door. And the church people were looking at them. With disdain. Because he never learned how to have an open door culture. Because Jesus says, whoever comes to me, in no wise will I cast out. They learned to have a church culture that put brackets on people and labels on people and names on people. And you're not allowed in because you're not like us. Jesus never had that no permission mentality. And the church has to get that mentality off of them if we're going to reach a world. It's if it's on you, get it off you. It will cripple you. It will be the one thing that will cause God not to work through your life. Because the world is broken. The world is confused. There's young people cutting themselves, hanging themselves. And there's people that are in all types of different communities that when they walk through the door, the last place on earth they should not feel rejected is the church. And if we ever become this church, I'm out of here. You can pastor yourself, lead yourself, reach the city yourself. That is not this. If it's on you, get it off of you. Only Jesus can change lives. Only Jesus. You can be conformed to the image of the church or transformed into the image of Jesus. Your choice. If we're putting it on you, forgive us. Take it off of you. Because we can only conform you to what we want you to be. But Jesus transforms you into who you are meant to be. And that's good news. So, this little girl and all of them come to church and the pastor sees them and he goes down to meet some of them. And Ricardo walks by and he thought Ricardo was a lady until she says, good morning, sir. And he realized, oh my goodness, what's going on? But on one of their DVDs, Ricardo shares his story. Ricardo came to the church. He became a Christian. He'd lived in this lifestyle for such a long time that he had to learn how to be a bloke again. And he really, really appreciated the men of the church that helped him. And it ended up that he contacted HIV AIDS through his lifestyle. And he got very sick one day that they thought he was going to die, and he rang up the pastor and he says, "Pastor, I'm going to die." And Jim says, the pastor says, went into pastor mode, "Well, you're going to be with Jesus," and tried to comfort him in where he was at. And God spoke to the pastor and said, "You're not going to fight for him. You're not going to fight for his healing. You're not going to fight for his well-being. You're not going to fight for his wholeness, Jim." And Jim said, he started praying like there was no tomorrow and banging the table and saying, "God, come and rescue him. God, come and heal him. God, you didn't call him out of Cardboard City for him to die like this today." And it turns out he got a tremendous recovery in at that time. But just before he did pass away, which wasn't long after that, Ricardo shared his testimony. It's on one of the videos. And he talks about what God done in his life. And he kept saying, anyway, in the book, "Thank you to the little girl that dreamed God's dreams. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for reaching out to me. Thank you for hearing God and acting out what God has said. Thank you for coming down to Skid Row. Thank you for coming into Cardboard City." And you know what Jesus says? In his culture of permission, all of us can dream God's dreams. They may look different, they may sound different, but the door is open for us all. For God's dream, which is to reach the world, which is to touch people. And today, I want to release God's dreams into your life. And if you ask God for what I've asked about, the permission is given. The Holy Spirit, call him Father. God's dreams, living in another dimension. So let's pray. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You know, God is here. And he's good. And he's good all the time. And I guess the first, God doesn't say no permission to any of us. But you have to give him permission. That's the way he works. He doesn't barge in the door. He doesn't kick in and go, "Hey, you're going to dream my dreams, full stop. You have no choice. You're going to love me, no choice. I'm going to become your father. You've no say in it." That's not the way he works. He says there's permission for all of this. He doesn't just pour out his spirit on anyone. You give him permission. So he's not holding back on you, but you just might be holding back on him this morning. And the first thing that you need to say to God, "I won't embarrass you. It's not the way we do it here." But in your heart before God, you say, "God, I give you permission to come into my life. I want to be one of those who becomes a son and daughter of God because I believe in Jesus. I believe that you came, that you died, that you rose again for the forgiveness of my sin. I accept that, Jesus. Come on in." And then he says to you, "I give you permission right now to call me Father. I give you permission to ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I give you permission to live in another dimension. I give you permission to live in a culture of yes and amen." So, Father, I say this morning, and those who are hungry, those who want more, would you pour out your spirit upon us? Would you fill us up, Lord? Would you fill us up, Lord, with joy and peace and hope and power and release and freedom? Father, I release your dreams to be upon each one of us, O God, that all of a sudden you have a sense of wanting to do something for God. Wanting to reach out to people, want to help others reach out to people, want to be something in the cogs of God that makes the operation of God successful and effective in our world. Lord, that's me. I want to be. I want to give my talents and my gifts so that the kingdom of God can be advanced in this city, in this community, in this nation, and abroad in other nations. Here I am, Lord. Only you can give him permission. And as soon as you give him permission, he's there in a heartbeat. Forgiveness is in a heartbeat. Being filled with joy and hope and peace, it's in a heartbeat. The dream of God is an instant. It's boom, it's there. You're thinking something you've never thought of before, or something you've always thought of comes like it's resurrected again and again and again till you actually come and do something about it. And I release you. I release you to be that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Phil and Michelle, will you come? I can't believe we got all of this in our time.